BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
You're listening to a podcast from the Today programme on BBC Radio 4.
We've entered the unknown. Every day brings immense changes to our daily lives. Schools being shut, with children coming home indefinitely. Exams in jeopardy. People in London facing far tighter restrictions on travel and going out. The number of soldiers on standby has doubled to 20,000. All of this will undoubtedly cause huge damage to the economy, with the threat of companies going out of business and many job losses. Comparisons are being made with the global financial crisis, which was when Gordon Brown was Prime Minister. He joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
How would you describe the scale of what the country's facing now?
Unprecedented. I think we've got to recognise that when you have this morning a school closure that leads to an exam crisis, that leads to a childcare crisis, that leads to a crisis for vulnerable children, that we are in unprecedented territory. It's a global medical emergency. After all, nearly 10,000 people have died, 300,000 people infected. It's also a global economic emergency. People think maybe 20, 25 million jobs are going to be lost around the world. And it means that people are doubly afraid. They're afraid of catching the virus or their family members catching the virus, and they're afraid of their livelihoods and their family incomes being lost. And we've got to act on both fronts, and we've got to act domestically, and we've got to act internationally. And I'm interested in what additionally we can now do constructively to deal with the crisis before us.
And we will come on to some of those measures, but I was just interested in your assessment of whether you think that this is the, I mean, you've outlined the gravity of this crisis, but how long do you think it's likely to last? Are we going to see long-term consequences as we did from the financial crisis?
I think there's going to be long-term consequences in the way we live our lives. If I'm taking the medical advice properly, I think they think it's probably at its peak within 2 months, coming down within 4 months. They worry that it may reoccur, so we've got to take measures to do that. I think in this kind of situation where you've got both a medical and an economic emergency, you've got to act quickly, you've got to get to the root of the problem, and you've got to be decisive and use overwhelming resolve to get to the bottom of what you're trying to do. And I think at the moment we are facing quite a big decision about employment. If we have one wave of redundancies in tourism, airport, travel, restaurants, hotels, it will inevitably lead to a second wave of big redundancies where small businesses are affected, people can't afford to buy things, worklessness means that people just don't have money to spend. And I think this is the week where the government has to act to deal with employment protection. We've given companies loans. We've given relief on rents and mortgages. But what people are worried about is their income. In fact, Boris Johnson, if he tells people to go home and stay at home, he's got to tell them how they are going to be able to survive financially if that's the case. And I think what's missing in this country is what's happened in other countries, and that is employment protection measures, where we take the key sectors of the economy, know that they're going to be running down if we do nothing about it, make our loans and help conditional on doing something about employment protection. It's really a sharing of responsibility between employers and government.
And
now,
are you saying
if we could do something on that?
Are you saying that
if we could do something on that?
Sorry to interrupt. For clarification, are you saying that then employers shouldn't be able to have government loans unless they promise not to lay off workers?
No, I'm happy that employers are getting loans and getting credit and there's rate relief. I'm happy also that there's grants being given to them. But we've got to have some sharing of responsibility about employment. If people are being asked to stay at home, they need to know about their incomes. If people are worried about the childcare and having to stay home because of that, they need to know whether they can go back to their jobs. If people are on short time, they need to know what sort of income they got. Statutory sick pay, universal credit have got to be improved, obviously, but that's not enough. We've got to have workers who can go back to work when this is over, and companies, as the Governor of the Bank of England in his first remarks said yesterday, have got to say the first reaction is not to fire people and sack people. The first reaction must be to see how can we keep people on? And that's a shared responsibility between the government and business. And my fear is that we have not done enough to do that, while other countries, you go right through Europe, other countries have been making provision for this. We have yet to do so.
The Chancellor, Rishi Sunak, said yesterday that he was absolutely alive to the urgency of this and that they're looking at a number of different mechanisms. And it's the question of how you do it. I mean, one idea that's being mooted is a kind of reverse national insurance. So in other words, instead of people paying that form of tax, they would be getting money back from the government. Do you think that would work?
Well, that might work better. That might work better for small businesses. I think in the end, you've got to deal with the sectors that are most at risk. And as I say, if you have one wave of redundancies, you're inevitably going to have a second wave if you've not done something to avoid the first wave. When the governor of the Bank of England spoke yesterday, he was urgent in what he was suggesting. I'm urgent in what I'm suggesting. I think they should get together with the sector. I'm glad the trade unions and employers are both involved in this, and they should agree, whether it's the Denmark scheme or the Swedish scheme or the Norwegian scheme or whether it's what the Germans are doing, but something has got to be done to get an agreement between the sectors and the government to keep people in work, and even if they're on short term, to protect as much of their income as possible.
What has been done in the United States?
Security about whether they...
What has been done in the United States, both under the Obama government and now under President Trump, is to give checks directly to people, which has the advantage of being simple and speedy.
But it's scattergun, because President Trump doesn't need a check. American millionaires don't need a check. People in secure jobs who are necessary and are going to be kept on don't really need that check. Who needs the check?
Well, a lot of people do need that check, and they'll get it, and they could get it immediately. We've been hearing from a lot of people in the program who say they need money now.
Well, I listened and I heard the three people on the programme earlier, Andrew, Kate and Greg, and I think in each of their case, what they need to know is that there is employment protection for people in jobs and that they're in a position then to rely on income still being forthcoming to them, because people are in jobs, they're able to commission work, they're able to use their services. You need to have this security. You see, it's all in the end, as I found in the financial crisis, about building confidence that you're in control of the problem to make people secure. The reason that the markets are falling heavily is that nobody feels that there is leadership in the world at the moment to deal with this. Well, and of course, that needs international as well as domestic action.
But there has been a fair amount, though, hasn't there, of international intervention? We've seen central bank all over the world cutting interest rates.
Not of the scale that's needed. Otherwise, there would be more confidence in what needs to be done. And I'm not wanting to criticise anyone. I want to be constructive. But I would say there is to be a meeting of the G20. Perhaps it should be combined with the UN Security Council because of the health implications. That has to have an agenda. There's got to be a coordinated fiscal stimulus. There isn't one at the moment. Monetary policy, interest rate cuts can only take us so far. Creating credit can only take us so far. There needs to be a coordinated fiscal stimulus, as we did in 2008. Unfortunately, China will not play the part it played in 2008, so Europe and America will have to step up. There needs to be coordinated cooperation on medical equipment, for example, where some countries are producing things that other countries need. And
on
a coordinated,
the question of
by the
fiscal
way, coordinated
stimulus,
action on dealing with a vaccine. The coordination's got to go across the board. Fiscal stimulus, yes.
On the question of fiscal stimulus, the European Central Bank has overnight launched an emergency £700 billion package to try to ease
that's
the impact.
That's not fiscal stimulus. No, Martha, that's not fiscal stimulus. That's them being prepared to stand by institutions and to provide credit. It's governments that really have got to step in here. The central banks can do so much, but governments have got to offer to spend what money is necessary, obviously, to build up the healthcare system in Britain. I mean, obviously, we're short of equipment, we're short of ventilators, we're short of respirators, we're short of staff. That's got to be done. But also governments have got to step in, and employment protection or safeguarding employment seems to me to be the first thing that they need to do now to avert a second and third wave of redundancies, which would be very, very damaging for our economy.
We saw the Chancellor announcing £350 billion of support for businesses, mostly in the form of loans. But they have been talking about further steps too. How much more money do you think might be necessary?
Well, his fiscal package, that is the money he's pumping into the economy, was something in the order of 20 billion. And that was in the form of grants and rate reliefs and, tax reliefs. I think he will have to do considerably more to deal with the issues of employment protection. He says he'll do more, but the package should be out now to avoid redundancies being forced upon companies over the next day or two. I think a lot of company directors will be looking at the moment to how many staff they're going to shed in the next few days, in the next few weeks. And I think we need to step in now with building the confidence that we can keep people in work or keep people on short term in work, or we can have an arrangement with people where they take some holidays, but at the same time, they are going to have some income protection. If families don't have income protection, then lots of other consequences follow. People try to work if they're sick, people put themselves at risk, then their health becomes an issue of public health. Mm-hmm. And I think we really have to step in to deal with this particular blockage at the moment. And I hope the Chancellor will act before the end of tomorrow.
As you've outlined. And we're also seeing a lot of concern about what's happening in London. It seems a third of the cases are already happening in the capital. And we're seeing a lot of the public transport system being shut down. Do you think that that is necessary? Do you think it needs to go further?
I think it is necessary. Personally, I think we should have acted a bit more quickly, but that's a matter on which I don't have the full information. I think people have got to accept that at certain points, as we've done before, we bring in the army to help us in certain respects. I'm not advocating greater legal sanctions, but I am advocating using all the resources of this country. There's some amazing incidents where people have been helping each other. There was a shop nearby where I stay, which has offered all the elderly people, and to deliver it, all the sanitation products that are needed free of charge while others are profiteering. And I think the community wants to come together. The young are clearly more economically insecure, but more medically protected. But the older people are more medically vulnerable and perhaps more economically secure. Mm-hmm. And so it's all of us together, all of us coming in to make that effort. But of course, the government has got to take the right steps and it's got to get them in the right sequence.
You said that you thought that action should have been taken earlier, particularly in regards to London. Why is that?
I think we had a week when there was conflicting medical advice, if you put it like that. And obviously, we can look at that at different occasions. And I really don't want to go back on this. What I want to do is look at what constructively we as a nation can do together. But I do stress this is a global problem. It's not just a national problem. It needs global action and not simply national action. We've had too much of America first, India first, China first. We have had too much of this populist nationalism. We're finding that we're connected whether we like it or not. We're finding that we depend on each other whether we like it or not. And I think people have got to put aside the differences they have, and international cooperation is absolutely vital to this. It's absolutely vital to finding a vaccine and then manufacturing it quickly. It's absolutely vital, obviously, to keep the economy moving. And if you don't have confidence that people are in control, that people know what they're doing and are getting on with it, then all the other consequences that we've seen will follow.
The Prime Minister made clear yesterday that he did intend to carry on with his timetable for Brexit. He talked about the legislation being in place. Do you think that that is still possible?
Well, by the end of this year, the big issue will be how can you restore trade? It will be not how you can build more barriers. It's going to be how you can get the world economy moving. And it doesn't seem to me to make sense to be talking about more tariffs at a time when actually we will be trying to rebuild the links and the global supply chains and the connections between different countries. So I think the government's got to consider that. But for the moment, I think they've got to concentrate on getting control of this epidemic.
And finally, on a personal note, you'll be concerned about your family, as so many people are around the country.
Yes, and I think you've got to take the human aspect of this into account. You know, I've come across people who are in tears because they're losing their jobs. I've come across mothers who don't know where they're going to be able to feed their children and how. We've got local food banks that I'm talking to in my own area where I used to be the Member of Parliament, and they don't know how they're going to cope. All of us have got to come together. There's amazing resilience on the part of the community. What we need is to back the willingness of people to do things and them to cooperate with the measures that can help them make this more effective. And you've got now, I think, to deal with this question of employment. And then I think you've got to deal next week with the international cooperation that's essential. There is going to be a meeting of the G20, and that's got to be made to be more than just a token forum.
Gordon Brown, former Prime Minister, thank you for joining us.
From the one village behind the mountain.
Imagine you're living a very different life on the other side of the world.
You feel I cannot do anything.
You live silently in the shadows.
Just stay home, bring children, make food.
And then someone takes your child, disappears into the night with your little girl, and you can't stay silent any longer. And you'll do whatever it takes. Travel thousands of miles across the globe to find your missing daughter.
This is my child. I look after this child like tigers. Just go everywhere.
Join me, Sue Mitchell, for this gripping new BBC Radio 4 podcast series. Subscribe to Girl Taken on BBC Sounds.